beginning in verse 18 through 25. I'll be reading the New American Standard. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever, and I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the call, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Preach the word, brother.
Thank you, Willis. It's about time to send out a search warrant to find out where in the world is everybody on Sunday morning. Can anybody sign one of those? Or maybe we just need to all make some phone calls. It's noticeable when you look out and you see blocks of pews that are vacant. It's noticeable. And somebody was telling me this morning, don't be discouraged about that. Well, I have to tell you, it is a bit discouraging at times when you work so hard and things like that happen. I understand, though. The reality of the cross, as we've looked on Sunday nights at now the fourth lesson on cross-examination, was the cross really necessary? Well, in this passage of Scripture, the world thinks it is foolish that anybody would literally give up living for the sake of somebody else. Now, there have been some very kind and loving acts. I know in this past week, a week ago, there was a young man who was a race car driver who was in his 30s, and he was killed in a racing accident, and he donated his organs so that others could live. Well, in that way, we look at that and we say, what a blessing that is. But in reality, the lives that are saved by, and I too am an organ donor, the lives that are saved are still someday going to be ended. Those people are still someday going to need a Savior, just like everybody. And 1 Corinthians 1, I'm really preaching about verse 18 and then down here about verse 24. This is not a textual sermon tonight. This is a subject matter. It's topical in the concept of the message of the cross. The message of the cross for you and me is so valuable. But for other people, I've had people comment, well, you know, it just seems like a waste of time to waste a good Sunday and going down there and hearing some preacher rake you over the coals anyway. Well, I don't ever try to rake anybody over the coals, but I think that there's an importance in saying, you know what, we could live as better even no matter what area we've reached today in the state of maturity, we can still be better. We can still get better. And even tomorrow, we can still get better. So this evening's lesson is one point. Yay! Because the last few Sundays, I've gone a little long. I know, and one of them, I actually went about 37 minutes. And please forgive me for that, because I don't ever intend to go that long. But sometimes subject matters put you in the position where you have to cover a lot to make sense. So then, what does the cross say? If a person is standing back and they're looking at the world and they're looking at a bunch of people who have come together in the name of Jesus Christ in one place to lift up praise, to lift up prayers, to remember Jesus, to think about the Word of God, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, to edify each other. When people come together, what does the cross say? What is the message of the cross? Well, we know it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but I want to come at it from a different perspective. First of all, and this is one point, and this is point. This is letter A, sin must be dealt with. The cross says sin must be dealt with. It's not that sin can just be glossed over. It's not that sin can just be swept under the proverbial spiritual rug and God says, well, enough with that. Because in Romans, the third chapter, we've covered this a few times in dealing with the message of the cross, but it's still a part of the message. Why did Jesus die? Beginning at verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, it says, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And as I said last Sunday night when I read this same passage of Scripture, well, it seemed to me like there was a lot of punishment because there were a lot of animals that died before Jesus died. But the reality is, since Hebrews chapter 10 says it, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So that was the shadow. Jesus is the reality. He did this to demonstrate His own justice because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so as to be just in the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God has never ever wanted to punish one human. Hell is a real place. The Bible tells us of it. If you would go back and look at the descriptive terms, get a Bible program and look up the word hell in there and look at all the descriptive terms that talk about hell and how terrible it sounds like it will be. God never made that for me, and He never made that for you, and He never made that for anybody else. It was always intended to be for the devil, because God had always planned there to be an end to sin in the person of Jesus Christ. Sin has been dealt with God's way, not man's way. And since sin has been dealt with, there is this understanding. If we are going to partake of the benefits of that self-sacrifice of Jesus, if we are going to be partakers of the privilege of that, we must also be people of responsibility. Because privilege demands responsibility. How many of you here have a driver's license? If you have one, raise your hand. And if I don't see your hand, I'm going to wonder why you're driving. But don't you know that as a driver with a license, if you habitually break the law driving, you will lose your driver's license? You will lose the privilege because of the responsibility that comes along with it. And for the life of me, I cannot understand how a person who was arrested for DUI once, I guess a person can make a mistake once, but when they do it twice, how can they be driving again, let alone like Brother Mark Haas, whose father ended up being paralyzed and in a wheelchair for a long time. He was an elder at Emporia Avenue because of a drunk driver. And I don't remember, it was in the teens I don't remember, it was 13, 14, 15, Willis could tell us. That guy was arrested for how many times?
There was several, 8 or 10, something like that. I think it was 7.
Yeah, and the only reason he got thrown in jail was because by the time they got around for the next trial, he'd been arrested for it again. How does that happen? Well, the guy doesn't believe in responsibility. And that's the same with our world. And our world looks at the Bible and they look at us and they think, what a waste. But they don't understand. God dealt with sin so that we don't have to. Number two, letter B, sacrifice is necessary. It's necessary. God's forgiveness cannot be given without sacrifice. According to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, looking at verse 22, the comparison between the Mosaic law and the priesthood and the new law of Christ and that priesthood and the sacrifice offered under the priesthood of Christ. But the comment is made at the end of verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now then, look at the next verse. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The sacrifice of Jesus, he's saying, was absolutely necessary. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Dealt with. Sacrifice was necessary. And that's the reality. God, if he was going to save you and me, had to sacrifice one of the three parts of the Godhead. And for us, we understand, having known the Bible, having read the Bible, having studied the Bible, having listened to the lessons of the Bible, we know that it was always God's plan that it would be the Son that would fit that bill, that would die in that process. And so that leads us to point letter C, Jesus is the answer. Our world, if they don't like something that they have done, if they don't like what's going on, our world turns to drugs and alcohol and booze and every form of a depraved mind that our world can think of. It's unbelievable what people want to do to other people. I can't conceive of a homegrown terrorist in the United States if God were still in our country. Because, you know, back when I was a kid, we had rifles sitting out in pickup trucks that the windows were rolled down and they were unlocked by all those farm kids that came to high school with me, and I'm sure there are some of you that can say the same thing, but we respected our country, we respected God, and we respected our neighbors. And they keep asking these questions on the ABC Nightly News or on some of the other news channels. What's different today? Yes, Joe, I do watch ABC News at 5, 5:30, and 6. It's not quite as fair and unbalanced as others, but the answer is this. God is not to be found in our country. The principles and the moralities of God are not embraced. They're not taught. And people have no clue about God, what God really wants, because they don't want to know. Just give me a beer or give me another glass of that stuff with the cute little umbrella, or give me a hit of marijuana, or give me some cocaine. And yes, I know you saw when Jim went in to have his heart cath, and And I went back with Jim and Jan, and then I came out, and I was waiting for Trent to get there, and the police had come in, and over on the floor was this thing about this long. And it was silver. And it looked like it had like a burned black thing on one end, and then I thought it looked like it was made out of glass. I don't know what it was, except that the guy said, when I asked him, "What in the world is that thing?" He said, "Oh, that's a crack pipe. Haven't you ever seen one?" No. Not till now. And then they wonder, why is it that so many young people under the age of 13 are committing suicide today? I think I have the answer. They don't have anything to live for. They don't have a God that loves them. They've missed the answer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And there was this statement made by the high priest that year, Caiaphas, in John chapter 11. Turn there quickly. This is that story of Lazarus. Lazarus raised from the dead. What a wonderful blessing from God. Unseen, unheard of by... I mean, how many of you have seen somebody raised from the dead that had been in the tomb for 4 days? He'd been in there a long time. And they said, "There's a bad odor. You've been in there 4 days," verse 39. Jesus said, "Roll that stone away. Lazarus, come forth." And you would have thought the people would have had something to celebrate. And a few did. In fact, at verse 45, it says, "Therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. But, on the other hand, some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. 'What are we accomplishing?' they asked. 'Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.' And I want to say to them, well, boo-hoo. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a selfish pity party. We're going to lose what we've worked so hard to get." And one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. He said, "You know nothing at all. You don't realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Wow, the plan. The plan. Jesus is the answer, but it was a part of the plan. God had planned this all along. Even the devil didn't understand that. And so in Revelation chapter 12, there is this view. And you have to remember, the book of Revelation is all about pictures and what the pictures mean. There's meaning behind the pictures. And in Revelation chapter 12, there's a woman who's about to give birth to a son. And that son is going to be the ruler of the world. Well, that woman is the Jewish nation. Jesus was born of a woman born under law, the Jewish nation. And Jesus was born and he's snatched up to heaven, and there's war in heaven and the devil's cast out. And in chapter 12, at the end of chapter 12, the devil decides to come after you and me, since he's been kicked out of the only place he ever had where he could complain and point his finger and say, "Did you see that, God? Did you see how Wilson had sinned there, or Larry had sinned, or Mary had sinned, or Bud and Martha had sinned?" Because the only place he had in heaven was a place of accusation. The Bible says the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down. And so you get to the end of chapter 12 and the devil's standing on the seashore and he's looking at us. So then chapter 13. "And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. By the way, this is the civil persecuting power of Rome. Men worshiped the dragon because he had been given authority to the beast, and they also worshiped the beast and asked, "Who is like this beast? Who can make war against him?" I suppose nobody in the United States has ever thought, we have the greatest military might in the whole world. Who can take us down? If we're resting on the arm of faith, we are doomed. If we think the military power of the United States is going to save us, we're doomed. Only God can save us. Now, that is not a slap in the face to the military, because there's a different kind of battle going on that the people of the world think is very foolish. Verse 7, he was given power to make war against the saints and conquer them, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. It was God's plan. So then, Jesus is the answer. That is the message of the cross. The application is this: God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that requires, since we have great privilege, that requires great responsibility from us. And as Peter said in 1 Peter the 4th chapter, to those people living back then, as they were struggling to show people a different lifestyle and the importance of that lifestyle, Peter said this: "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." You see, that's where the world is. They believe in the self. They believe in selfishness. They believe in drunken fun and carousing and adultery and idolatry. They believe in anything that gives the world pleasure. That's what we should go for. They don't believe in this concept of self-denial that Jesus stands for, that the cross stands for. It is the greatest illustration of self-sacrifice, and there'll never be one greater. That's why Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. One more thing. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is the last scripture we'll look at: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature." There's where the world is. The world just wants to gratify. And so to them, the message of the cross is absolutely foolish. How could you give any time to a God that wants you to live his way when you could be king of the world and live the way you want to live? That's what the world says, but it's a big fat lie, because we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will have to give an account. And that judgment day will be the determining factor. Jesus is the message of the cross. He is the answer. And he can't help people on the other side of death. He can only help people on this side of life. Now that's real wisdom. Getting ready for the future, I wish that, let's see, Bonnie and I have been married 34 years. I wish that somebody would have taken me aside and said, you know what? You really need to have so much money set aside when you get children. Because they'll cost you two arms and two legs. Inflation. Used to be an arm and a leg. Now it's two arms and two legs. In fact, I saw somewhere on ABC News this last week, if you live in New York, do you know how much it costs you to raise a family of four in 1 year? $109,000. $109,000. That's a lot of money. Glad I don't live there. But what is it going to cost if we're not prepared for the judgment? See, the message of the cross is not foolishness. It's the wisdom of God. And Jesus is our ticket. He is our answer. And He's our helper. Glad you're here tonight. I hope that this makes sense. It doesn't to a world that we live in because they don't want it to make sense. If it makes sense, then they have to change. And I was one of those guys that fortunately somebody showed me the best way. And so here we are. We're left not only to make it to heaven by ourselves, but to show other people the best way and maybe open a door. We're glad you're here tonight. We hope that things are going well with you. We've been praying for a lot of people who have health issues. We'd pray for you too. But if there's another prayer that we can offer on your behalf, we want to do that. If there is someone that wants to come home that has been away spiritually, oh, we'll welcome you with open arms. And the Bible teaches that the angels in heaven will be singing and praising God. But if there's someone also that decides that they want to be baptized into Christ to have the benefits of the message of the cross, we invite you to come. If we can assist you, come while we stand and sing.